I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
Welcome to the second edition of Gold Dome Scramble, a pop-up podcast from Political Breakfast. I'm Lisa Ram, and with me today are WABE political reporter Emma Hurt and education reporter Martha Dalton. Welcome to the both of you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Hey.
Emma, let me begin with you. You know, we coasted through the week. We got through eggs and issues and the state of the state. Now it's time to get down to business, or should I say the budget. It's budget week, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking budget all day, almost every day, 3 days this week. And this is when state agency heads come before lawmakers and line up exactly what they're asking for, and this year what they've had to cut. And this is the first time we're hearing from them directly after Governor Kemp mandated budget cuts across most state agencies last year. Those negotiations have been happening really behind closed doors with the governor's office, and lawmakers are going to be paying close attention. Speaker Ralston spoke about exactly how tricky he thinks this might be.
This year's budget looks a bit more unsettled than in years past. We've got some lean revenue numbers to watch and some competing priorities to balance. I applaud Governor Kemp for taking a proactive role in asking our agencies and departments to reduce spending. I have already cautioned our members, however, that one person's waste can be another's vital expenditure.
So, I mean, it sounds like he's saying, look, I know we're looking for, quote, wasteful spending, but we need to really be careful about what the unintended consequences of some of those cuts might be. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it was really interesting. He said, I really want us to take our time with this. And, you know, a lot of the legislators, it's an election year, trying to rush and get through the session. I shouldn't say rush, but trying to get things done as quickly as possible. And he said, that's not going to be the case here. We're really going to take our time with this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he really wants to set a tone of like, look, this is going to be tricky, and we want to make sure we do it right.
And, you know, teachers will be paying attention this week very closely. In fact, they're going into the week pretty happy. 53% of the budget right now goes to education. And Martha, what are we watching this week in regards to that?
Well, as you mentioned, the big news from last week's State of the State was that Governor Kemp followed through on his campaign promise to give teachers a permanent annual raise of $5,000. That was really big news. I think, you know, as Emma mentioned, it's a tight budget year, and I think teachers weren't really necessarily expecting much, if anything. So the fact that he followed through on that, I think, is huge for teachers. I'm sure they're very, very appreciative of that. Now, regarding the budget, it also means that other state agencies may have to make cuts so the balance can kind of absorb those raises, which are about $350 million for the state. For example, there will be cuts made to early education. One notable change is a reduction of $500,000 to the CAPS program. That's the Child Care and Parent Services program. And a lot of parents use that money to pay for child care while they're working on finishing a college or technical school degree. The other issue that comes up every year with teacher pay raises is that the money will go in through the state funding formula, so it only covers teaching positions that are paid for by the state. So most districts hire positions beyond that. So they have to decide, you know, if they want to give every teacher a raise, they're probably going to have chip in some of their own money for that.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that gets lost on a lot of people that the positions are only state funded positions. Those are the only teachers that are getting a raise through Governor Kemp's proposal and plan. Martha, give us some perspective here. Governor Kemp said he would fully fund education, meaning the QBE or quality basic education formula. we use in this state to distribute money to school districts. He got a lot of applause in his speech when he said he was giving public schools their basic funding. Is this considered a big accomplishment that, you know, they're getting just the basics here?
Well, actually, yes, it is, because this is the third consecutive year that QBE has been fully funded. But Democrats, and I can hear them now, will take issue with that phrase, fully funded, because for more than a decade, lawmakers made what were called austerity cuts to the education budget. So Democratic legislators argue that when Republicans say they're fully funding QBE, they're talking about funding the formula at the level it's been since 2002, when Sonny Perdue took office as governor. So yes, it's good that the state is funding it, but Democrats want to see a lot of those cuts restored that still haven't been put back yet.
Well, one thing's certain, there's going to be a lot to sort through this week. I'm wondering if it's going to linger on into the following. You are listening to Gold Dome Scramble. We'll be right back after the break.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
Welcome back to Gold Dome Scramble. I'm Lisa Ray. I'm here with Martha Dalton and Emma Hurt. We're talking about a $28.1 billion budget proposal for 2021. And with that said, we're talking about a lot of cuts, but what about tax increases? The two kind of go hand in hand, Emma.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question because you're talking about budget cuts and then at the same time we're raising pay for teachers. And there's also a $1,000 pay raise for state employees making less than $40,000. The question is, wait, do we need to raise taxes to pay for this stuff? And that is a kind of bad word, tax increase, in a Republican-controlled legislature. But last week, the two chambers did agree on what's called a marketplace facilitator tax. Legislators are arguing that this levels the playing field between brick-and-mortar retailers who have to collect state sales tax and online retailers, some of whom have not been doing that. And so now, starting April 1st, if the governor signs the bill, they will. So that's one source of new revenue. And we're talking about Walmart.com, even Airbnb. Uber and Lyft is sort of in a different category because they're actually in litigation about whether or not they are taxable. So TBD on that. But they would not call this a tax increase. They would call this leveling the playing field.
Actually, some lawmakers are talking about cutting the state income tax rate. They cut the rate in 2018 and left themselves the opportunity to do it again this year. There are still some who want to do that. And if you look at Georgia's economy, which has a record low unemployment rate, you'd think, why can't Georgia afford this? But Senator Jack Hill, who is the head of appropriations, said it's hard to explain to his colleagues that they can't get everything they want this year.
The kids don't understand why they can't have a new bicycle. And our senators and representatives are the same way. They can't understand why, if things are so good, why we can't have all the bells and whistles that we want. And that's our problem, is convincing them that we really are, really don't have any money to spend.
And as appropriations chair, Senator Hill has a lot of power over the budget, and he doesn't seem in favor of more tax cuts unless he can figure out why revenues are not coming in.
He also said a year and a half ago, Georgia was at the top of the list for revenue growth among southeastern states, but now we're actually at the bottom of the list. And the biggest change he can think of was that state income tax rate cut that we talked about that went into effect last year. Democratic Senator Nan Orak has an interesting take on this tax cut idea.
Well, let me say this. The tight budget is of their own making. They cut revenues by $500 million by providing a tax cut for the top wage earners, top income people. They did that last year, $500 million. And there was talk that they want to do it again this year, another $500 million. That's not running government like a business. Do you know any business that cuts its own revenues? We need to be building our revenues, broadening our tax base.
I think it's safe to say this year, Democrats are not going to be in favor of state income tax rate cut.
We're talking about the budget hearings this week and taxes, tobacco tax, taxing vaping products are some options that are being tossed around this week, Martha.
That's right. Georgia has one of the lowest tobacco taxes in the country. And some have said this would be a relatively easy way to find some more revenue. But House Speaker David Ralston has remained against the idea of any tax increase. Vaping might be a different story, since the argument there would be, again, sort of leveling the playing field. Lots of vaping legislation this year coming will be affected by federal regulations also working their way through.
Some leadership have told me basically there's going to be a lot of vaping bills. This is sort of a new frontier in state regulation. They're all probably going to end up getting combined. And they're also going to be, as Martha said, really impacted by whatever the feds decide to do.
Every year, the halls of the Gold Dome are full of education advocates. Is there anything that we should be watching for, listening for extremely closely?
Well, I just think people need to be aware, like you pointed out earlier, Lisa, that education spending is more than half of the state's overall budget. And when you think about education in the state, it's not just K through 12 public education. The state has a Department of Early Education. We have higher education, which includes the university system of Georgia. And there's also the technical college system. So all of these different agency heads are going to be going to the Gold Dome this week to, you know, make budget requests and explain what they need money for. And I think it's important that people realize how much of your tax money goes toward education spending in all these different areas.
Martha, thank you. And Emma, you will be our eyes and ears down there at the Dome. Thank you both for being here today. That's it for our second edition of Gold Dome Scramble. Hope you enjoyed it.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The world is full of mysteries. Are ghosts real? Is that yogurt expired? Hey, the unknown can be scary, but when you donate to WABE, you know where your money is going. Your gift supports the journalism that keeps you informed and the programs that pull back the curtain on complicated stories. Help us make the world less mysterious. Become a member now. Go online to wabe.org/donate, and thanks.